Our next item is Plantation Park Marina Subdivision on Road 363. It's on the agenda for discussion, gentlemen.
This was also deferred at the July 6th meeting. Mr. Clark was basically raising three questions. They questioning the minimum lot width of 150 feet in the conservation zone, the necessity for a 50-foot buffer from state title wetlands, and the requirement for obtaining 51% approval from current property owners to add 7 or 8 more lots, I believe, to an existing subdivision, and it was deferred, so Mr. Robertson could look into the matter.
All right, sir. Well, I believe I recognize Mr. Clark out in the, if he would like to report back.
Thank you. For the record, I am Mr. Clark with Jeff Clark with the firm of Land Tech. And I guess the discussion at this point is to learn what your research has produced.
Certainly. And just for the commission's benefit, we might have talked about this before, but I don't think this requires any formal action by the commission. More just the, you know, where do we go from here type thing for Mr. Clark and his client. I took a look at his letter, and for the record, it was a May 24th, 2006 letter where he requested basically three things. And I'll sort of go through those. The first was the necessity for the minimum 150-foot lot width on this project. And what I did is I took a look at section 115-194B of the zoning ordinance, which has that requirement in it. It talks about the lot width and then the width of a lot or the frontage required on a tidal water body. Basically, there may be some relief available to Mr. Clark and his client. However, I don't think the commission has the authority to grant that. It's got to go to the Board of Adjustment on that one, according to Section C of that section of the zoning code. The necessity for the buffer from the state tidal wetlands, that one's a little bit different, and that's Section 115-193. And when you look at that, it talks about grandfathering a little bit, and it talks about any previously approved and similarly recorded subdivision plats and plans, if approved prior to the adoption date, may be amended if it's determined that by the commission that the amended plan represents an equal or less intrusive use on the buffer area or setback area. So what that means is that's a determination that the commission can make at the point in time in which the commission's reviewing the site plan for preliminary approval. So in other words, you don't have to deal with that now. That would be at the time of the public hearing. The third thing is the necessity for the subdivision approval by all existing residents within the subdivision. Now, that's actually governed by the subdivision ordinance. And even though it says, I think, reserved for future development on the prior site plan, under Section 9913 of the code, I don't think you need to have all the existing residents, but you have to have the 51% to come back in. And I don't know what the restrictive covenants say for Plantation Park, but that's really a secondary issue. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't see any way around the 51% requirement. So that would be what you would need to get to trigger the commission to review the site plan, including that buffer issue, keeping in mind that the 150-foot issue, that's something that's got to be dealt with by the Board of Adjustment at some point.
So I guess with respect to this grandfathering issue, I mean, I understand it's very clear that we would need to go back and get the variance with respect to the lot width. But the fact that that the previous plat did designate this piece of undeveloped land as future development, would you see that as a matter that would constitute a brand new subdivision application or a matter that would be back on an agenda like today after we, assuming we were successful with the Board of Adjustment, that we would bring that back here graphically as we have already turned it in? I guess
I think it has to, because you're increasing the density. You know, it didn't say, didn't have lots, at least on the plan I had, it didn't have lots laid out on it. It just talked about reserved for future development, and it talks about in the event the proposed re-subdivision or alteration results in increased density within the subdivision, the subdivider has to provide evidence of not less than 51% of the property owners.
Well, I'm not questioning that, and that's not an issue. We're certain because the neighbors want this property redeveloped. I guess that there's two issues. One is whether this will be treated as a brand new subdivision requiring the filing, waiting a year approximately, et cetera, or whether this is something that would be brought back on an agenda.
Yeah, I wish I could say that it could, but then subparagraph B talks about creating new lots, and you have to treat that as basically a brand new subdivision. So
the difference here, though, I just to make one more plea, is that the street that serves these new lots we're proposing is already of record on the plat for the subdivision lots that do exist. So in that sense, if I read your ordinance correctly, this is a minor subdivision because no new street is being created. Now, that may be thin, but that is what your ordinance says, and would like to rely on that if we could, to bring that back to you then as a stripped subdivision or whatever term we want to use. But it does seem to fit the definition of a minor subdivision. We're trying to save a year, I guess, to just cut to the chase. The result or the application we bring before you will be identical.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that really before you get into the minor, it's not a minor subdivision because what you're doing is altering a subdivision previously recorded to create new lots. I don't think you get to that distinction. You're still under subparagraph B, which talks about that you have to go through for the creation of new lots. 99.10 and 99.11 of the chapter, which talk about the hearing process. I mean, I suppose. I mean, it's. I don't see how it's a minor subdivision, and you got to get queue in line like everybody else. I wish I wish there was some better answer, but that's what the code says, and that's how it's been treated, I think, uniformly.
Now, when lots are created against right of ways that already exist, just so that I'm clear, I explained to my client, what is the distinction? If we had two lots instead of seven, it would be a minor. Four lots and not
no,
seven.
No, it wouldn't matter because it's an alteration of an existing
subdivision.
That's the distinction.
So it isn't the creating lots on a right-of-way issue. It is the altering an existing subdivision.
Yeah, there's a recorded site plan or subdivision plan that you're trying to create new lots on.
I got you.
And that takes you back into the line.
Okay. Jeff, you said that all of, well, I'll say Park Place is in physically on site.
It is not.
Okay.
It is.
That's what I thought you said.
It is a paper street.
But part of the street's in.
That's correct. The part of the street, though, that would serve these lots we're proposing is not. It's currently the site of a, if you've been out there, it's a big mound of earth that used to be a wastewater system serving the lots that are there. Something the current owners, as I said before, are very anxious to see go down the road. So,
But lots 20 or 19 through 23 are already there.
Right. And that's improved.
Part's improved.
Improved.
That is correct. And the actual physical pavement ends somewhere in the neighborhood of that that northern boundary of lot 23. So,
yeah. So really, you're looking at lots 1 through 7. The other five lots are already there.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I just want to make clear.
So there is no, even if we all wanted to, there isn't really any relief there.
I mean, that's how the commission's treated, whether it's a re-subdivision of open space, whether it's been reserved for future development within an existing subdivision, you're altering an existing site plan, so that pulls you back in if you're creating new lots. And plus, you know, on the top of that, it's still, that public hearing on top of that section B is required just to figure out whether that buffer is necessary, because that would have to be considered by the commission as part of that process.
But at the time the subdivision is considered,
yeah,
not as a separate issue.
No, I think that's the way I would present it, at the time that you go through the preliminary site plan hearing.
Great, appreciate that. Okay. Very good.
Sorry, I wish I could say that you could jump right in next month, but it doesn't say
that's
that.
Why we were discussing it, so we could learn the answer to that.
The year is not as long as it used to be.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. This doesn't require any action or anything, does it? A motion?
No.
Is merely to move on? Okay. Our next item is Vincent Overlook MRRPC Landscape Features on Road 88.
This item was also deferred on July the 6th at your request for permit ornamental features in the development that exceed the height requirements of the zoning ordinance. A fence is proposed along the front property line that would be 6 feet 6 inches in height. The code permits fence to be 3.5 feet within the front yard setback, and the engineers and architects feel that this could be amended under the design ingenuity clause of the residential plan community ordinance. There are representatives here.
All right, sir, thank you. We'll see if anyone does. Mr. Burton, this happens to be in your vast expanse of territory.
They are only requesting a fence variance, correct? The height of the fence, period.
The height of the fence, yes. Their tower structure, which is going to be within the development, meets the setback requirements and the height requirements.
I have no questions. I'm prepared to.
All right, sir.
Anybody else have any questions?
So it's not meant to be a big billboard.
Let's be clear. I think there's some people here that have an interest in this. If they could maybe, and I'm seeing a bunch of puzzled faces. Maybe if you all have anything, just so we're certain.
Hi, my name is Randy Creaser. I'm architect of record for Vincent Overlook, which is a new community off Cape Neck Road. And I came up with this concept design for the entry feature. And it is a concept design that we, representative of the owner as well as the site engineer are here to answer any of your questions. We recognize that it is an unusual design, but that was a part of the thought process that we wanted to do something that was like a landmark along the road and looks a little bit more interesting than a standard wall sign. I've got a rendered elevation over here if you care to look at that, and I can walk you through it if you choose.
Well, I think I don't know that we need that, because I think what Mr. Abbott has said is that the features, really, with the exception of the fence, all meet county code. Is that okay? So
they're
fine. So the commission doesn't need to act on those. The only thing that the commission needs to act on would be increasing the fence from, or allowing the fence to increase from 6 foot 6 inches, or excuse me, 6 foot. Excuse me, let me back up. 3 foot 6 inches to 6 foot 6 inches in height. And as the commission may recall, that has been allowed on larger projects that are sort of themed RPC, like Americana Bayside. So I think the commission does under the RPC ordinance have the ability to do that.
Is there anyone other than the applicant here with interest in this? No. Okay, thank you.
Will this have the sign on it? This additional fence will have the.
Yes, if you have the exhibit on page on the second page, there is a image showing the.
Okay. And that will be all there will be as. This will be all there will be as far as signage.
No, actually, on the pavilion, there will be a small sign.
It looks like it's round. It's just their papers.
Yeah.
Mr. Creaser, your signs are for the purposes of identification, not for advertisement, or?
Yes, for identification.
Okay.
But a subdivision sign required a 25-foot setback. Is that right, Jenny? They could also get a waiver from that since it's an RPC.
And I think I think that's reasonable, Mr. Burton. I mean,
we're looking at a fence.
Yeah, we're looking at a fence and a letters that identify the subdivision at the entrance. I mean, it's public convenience as much as anything else.
I think you can. What?
How many houses are in this development?
224.
Hey, just stick that up here for these guys for a minute, will you?
To easel.
Nah, you're fine. You're doing good.
Well, this is the wall fence that was there before. We're just asking for it to be higher. Over here, I have this pavilion, which I've been kind of taken as an architectural character of the life-saving station in Lewis as a place to kind of have like a landmark near the entrance.
Right, and what Mr. Abbott
and that's
has
all
said.
All that's good.
That's fine.
The only issue is the height of the fence.
Okay.
Make a motion if you approve it. Make sure you reference the sign also.
Is this considered a sign? It's just a like a plaque on.
Still a sign.
Yeah,
but we'll take care of that. Perhaps
it'll be a sign on a fence. A sign on a building should be referenced for.
Okay, there you go, Mr. Burton. You can consult with Mr. Lank on the structure of your motion if you like. Thank you, sir. I think we're in good shape.
Location of the fence with the sign. And the sign on
the and the height of the fence.
And the height of the fence.
Location, the motion be for approval of the location and height of the fence with the sign on it. and the sign on the buildings as shown on the renderings.
I motion for approval of Vincent Overlook MRRPC for the increase the size of the fence to 6'6" to include the Vincent Overlook sign and the sign on the building across the street, or with the same letters, Vincent Overlook. That's my motion.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the landscape features of Vincent Overlook MRRPC as stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.